Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Sylvester, for the announcement. Thank you so much so far for your generosity in pledging for our annex rebuild project. I know it's a tall task, but we know that we are a community of faith, and that we have a God who will provide, and He provides through you and through you guys. And so we thank you so much for your generosity so far and your support so far in this, in making this possible to where we are, to the level we're at right now. Hard to believe we're already at Christmas time. It's been, it seems like not that long ago that we started our Advent series, starting in Advent. This morning, I'm going to be a bit shorter than normal. I don't know if you'd be happier about that or not, but this won't be your typical sermon per se that I usually get from me. It'll be more some reflections on Christmas that I want to share with you guys. I don't know about you guys, but we actually have quite a busy Christmas week coming up for us. We kind of went overboard and scheduled a lot of parties and dinners, starting with last night, and we kind of go every night pretty much, except for the only night we have free is Christmas night. So we have lots of things lined up. We have lots of people to see, lots of parties to attend to, but it's been busy. But Christmas is this time, on a personal level, in my life, I've had the privilege and the blessing of having Christmas time produce some of my most cherished memories. And being the kid of six kids, right? Like I'm the baby in the family. Being the baby of the family, you get treated pretty well at Christmas time. I don't know where you guys are at, but there's like an 18-year gap between myself and my oldest brother. And so my older siblings, when I was growing up, they were more or less working, and so I had it pretty good at Christmas time when it came to opening gifts. But the other thing about Christmas time is that most of my siblings had moved out of the house by the time I was pretty young. We grew up in Regina. I was born and raised in Regina, Saskatchewan. And so there's not a lot of prospects there, right, like for young people. So like most people, they move out of the city to begin their careers or to build on their lives. And so like I was pretty much an only child from the age of 13, as all my siblings had moved away for school and work. And so it was around Christmas time, which was the only really reliable time that my family would be together for a long time. And of course, it was around Christmas time last year that my entire family, there was probably 30 of us with kids and extended and wives and spouses and things like that. There's 30 of us. We gathered together pretty much to say goodbye to our father who passed away last December 29th. And so it's fitting that all of that happened around Christmas time, because it was around Christmas time that most of our fondest memories, our most cherished memories as a family happened during Christmas. And so at the same time, though, I realized and I recognized the fact that not everyone can say this about Christmas. And so for a lot of us, Christmas time might actually be quite painful, right? Christmas might bring up old wounds or memories that we'd rather not have. And so it might be actually one of the darker times of the year for some of us. And for those who are in this boat, the message of Christmas might even be more important for you. But here's the question I want to ask. Have you ever thought about how light works? You ever thought about how light works? Like when I say that when people say that darkness is like the absence of light, have you ever thought about how that works? And so if you have a dark place, then you can always shine a light in that dark place, and the light will cut through the darkness, right? It doesn't work the other way around, right? And so if you're, if you're in a dark room, and you open the door, and the light from the outside is going to flood into that room and flood that room with light, right? If it's the opposite, and you're in a bright room, and you open the door, and it's dark outside, the darkness isn't going to flood the room with darkness, right? It doesn't work that way. We live in a world that's full of darkness. We live in a world that's full of hate, and you need only to read the news to see how troubled this world is. The sad part of it all is that a lot of times we are so desensitized to the darkness of the world that it seems like nothing really shocks us anymore, right? Well, there's mass shootings that happen almost on a weekly basis, it seems like. There's suicide bombings. There's bombs sent in the mail, right? There's rampant racism and other forms of bigotry. I mean, did you know that as of 2016, there are 40 million people in this world that are in the bondage of modern slavery, right? 40 million people, that's more slaves in this world right now than there ever has been in all of human history. We know how dark this world is. We know how dark this world can be, right? We read about it. We see it. We watch it on TV. There is little doubt that it's there. So we know that it's dark out there. But what maybe we don't think about, what maybe we don't realize as much, is that darkness doesn't just happen out there or exist out there. That darkness lives in here too, right in each one of us. It happens when we spend, statistics are like $500 million on Christmas presents, on Christmas shopping, every single year, when all it takes is $75 billion a year for the next 10 years to eliminate extreme poverty in the world. It happens when we lie to cover ourselves or to make our people think that we're better than we actually are. It happens when we get upset or disappointed with what we get at Christmas time, right? It happens when we don't think we are good enough or when we think we're actually too good. This darkness happens when we think other people have it better than we do. There is this darkness that happens within the very depths of our souls that we could never have dreamed was possible. But take a good look at ourselves in the mirror, right, for ourselves. Be honest with ourselves. Are you petty? Are you bitter? Have you placed yourself at the center of your world? Where does your mind wander? Where does your mind wander when you're not focusing on anything, when you don't have to focus on anything? Where does your mind go? What are the things that you most desire? And if you're completely honest with yourself, you will probably find that there's more darkness swirling around in your heart than you realize. But it is for this darkness that, as we read, God came near. That darkness that overtakes a man to arm himself to the teeth and take hostages in a busy cafe, right? Or fire a gun in a school full of children. This darkness that convinces me that it's the same darkness that convinces me that I'm better than someone else simply because of the color of my skin or where I was born. It's the same darkness that seizes our hearts when our only concern is for ourselves, our own worries, our own stresses, our own sense of self-worth, our own comfort, our own happiness. And it is for this darkness that God came near. And it's for us in the here and now who live in this darkness that, as we read in Isaiah 9:2, it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." And so we know this darkness exists because we've seen it. We felt it ourselves, right? We know this darkness. We've seen it shatter our hopes and dreams. We felt the sting of it every time we've had our hearts broken, right? Every time we've lost something, every time we've lost someone, every time someone hurts us. But it wasn't always this way. Because this world was full of light once. In the beginning, when God created everything and everything he created, he said it was very good. We were made to reflect his glory. But that darkness somehow entered into our hearts and overtook it. We replaced this light that God gave us with darkness. That reflection of God's glory was just a shadow of what it was supposed to be, what it ought to have been, what it was meant to be. And throughout all of history, we lived in this darkness until one day, Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a child is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That child was the light of men that shines in the darkness. Why did he have to come? Why did he have to come? Because we were incapable of our own life, light. And if we're incapable of our own light, how can we possibly expect to overcome the darkness that pervades this world and the depths of our souls? Martin Luther King Jr. once said that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. We were incapable of driving out darkness because we ourselves are full of darkness. We were incapable of driving out hate because we ourselves were full of hate. Jesus came near to be that light for us because he knew that we couldn't. Jesus became hope for us because he knew that we were hopeless. Jesus became life for us because our fate was death. John 1 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And so Jesus came, shining a light that cuts through the dark places of this world, making it possible for us to recover this reflection of the glory. God made us in his image to reflect his glory. Jesus made it possible by shining a light on us to recover that glory that we lost along the way. He came to give us back that glory, to bring us back into the light and to the God who created us good in the first place. He came to welcome us back into his Father's arms, to bring us to a place where there are no more tears, no more dying, no more sadness, no more crying, no more pain. To a place where everything is new again, everything is whole again, everything is perfect. God will be our glory and we will be his joy. This is the message of Christmas, guys. Light overcoming dark, life replacing death, hope replacing fear, love conquering hate. This is the message of Christmas. God came near to us in Jesus. Turn to him. Get to know him. Jesus is all of that. Light, life, love, hope, wrapped up in this swaddling cloth, lying in the manger. This little boy, this little baby, is the light of the world. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I don't know, maybe some of us in here in this place, we're hurting right now. Maybe some of us in this place, we're living in this dark time. Maybe we are the ones who are capable of this darkness. And not allowing light to shine on our souls. Jesus, I pray that you would break through into our hearts today. That by your Spirit, you might shine a light on Jesus, the one who came near to bring us hope and light and life. To bring us out of, to raise us out of the darkness, to pick us up out of the pits and set us on rocky ground, on stable ground, on a ground where we can have hope and life again. Lord, I pray that this Christmas for all of us, Lord, for my friends here, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus, we might experience your love afresh. That we might have hope again. We might begin to hope again. That we might see the darkness in our souls, yes, but at the same time celebrate the fact that you have shined a light into the dark places of our hearts. That we might have life. That we might become sons and daughters of the Father. That we might rediscover the glory that you have placed within us. May you be glorified above everything in our hearts this Christmas. Let's not be concerned about and worried about the stresses of the season, but be filled with the hope of the story of you becoming man, becoming flesh, and that the light of light, the life that we have is the light of men. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Let's rise and sing our last few songs. Jesus is the light of this world, and it's on this Christmas period that I think hopefully a lot of us can have a chance to reflect on that and just the glory of what he really is. Angels we have heard on high.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Shepherds, why this jubilee?
Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Gloria.
Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
I'd like to remind everyone that prayer teams are here. They're in the corners. Please bring your praise items, prayer items, all of it, and they're available for you. What child is this?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, who angels greet with anthems sweet, the shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and lies he in nations fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Their spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me and you. Hail, hail the word made flesh, the So bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song.
One more. We're going to have a little bit of fun with this one, okay? So we're going to have a couple of echo parts, all right? So this side can follow me. The center can follow Sadie, and the side over here can follow Kyle. And it's an old song you probably knew as a kid. Do you hear what I...
Set the night wind to the little lamb.
Do you see what?
Do you see what
do
I
you
see?
See what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what
do
I
see?
See
what
do
I
you
see?
See what I see?
A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite.
Said the little lamb.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the seas.
Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king.
Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king. Do you know what I know? Palace walls, mighty king. Do you know what I know?
Do you know what I know?
A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Said the king to the people everywhere.
Said the king to the people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say.
Listen to what I say.
The the child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
We'll do one more. Okay, one more song. I want you guys to help put your hands together for this one, okay?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Christ by highest heaven,
Christ by highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in fresh air, Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleases men with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hail the heaven-born Prince,
hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, his and healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, for that men may know may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
We're going to continue this time of worship with a time of offering, so please pray with me. God, I just want to praise you so much for the pledge amount and the amount that the church has pledged so far. And this is a testament of the heart that you have placed in us. I have personally experienced the generosity of people of BAC through the Ecuador STM, and I see it again. And so, God, thank you so much for the work that you've been doing, for how you've been moving and convicting people to give to your kingdom. And I continue to pray for that, that you continue to move us, that we will be a people of generosity, that we will be a people who does not find security in our money, but finds security in the God who gives. And so, Lord, I pray for blessing upon the offering we're collecting, that it will be truly, truly for your kingdom, that it would be merely a vehicle and not our God and not our idol, but a vehicle of your work. And so, Lord, God, I pray for all this in your holy name. Amen. You can be seated. Welcome to BAC. I am Kim. I am the youth pastor here. And I'm pretty excited for you to be here if you're visiting us. If you have been here for a while, I'm super excited that you're here too. I'm obviously really excited for Christmas. I've worn this vest like 3 times in this past week. But yeah, I was thinking of going all red, but I was like, okay, that might be a little much. So I kind of toned it down. But we have some announcements. The we actually, the main announcements is the ushering team and our prayer team is looking for more people. And this is huge. So the ushering team is incredibly important because they're the ones who welcome. They're the ones who really help to really create in a space of hospitality. And our God is a God of hospitality. He invites us sinners to the banquet table. He invites us into his family. And it's the ushering team that really is the first touch for many people who are visiting. And that they're the ones who set that. And so we're asking for more ushers, and I want you to recognize how important this is to the family setting, to the culture of BAC. That when you are doing this, it's not just here, you can sit over there, but it's here, you're part of the God's kingdom. We're so glad you're here. So for the prayer team as well, we're looking for more people to pray. And even in our prayer meetings, if we're lucky, we'll get 13 people max. And that's actually really disheartening for me to see as a pastor. I think you can tell the theology of a church and the theology of the people who make up the church when, what is that? There's 250 people who come here and only 10 people come. I don't know what is the percentage of that? It's 0.5% of, I don't know, my math is horrible. But then, this is why I'm a pastor, not a math teacher, guys. What is that, anyways? 5%? 2%? 4%? 5%. Just figure that. Thank you, youth. Thank you, my youth. Yeah. Their math skills are more fresh. They're in school, you know? So, okay, that's 5%. And so I think it really is disheartening. How can we be a church if we're not a people of prayer? And church is the act of surrender, and the opposite of faith is in doubt, it's control. James says that faith without works is dead. And so we need to be a people of prayer. We have to be. We have to be. We have to be people who surrender our ministries and our church to prayer. And if this is not what we spend most of our time doing, and focusing on, then I don't know what we're doing. We might as well just be a social club. And so, again, I really ask that if this is something God's putting on your heart, talk to Pastor Keith or Isaac, and I ask that you pray and ask God, do you want me to be part of the team that is responsible for being hospitable and exemplifying a God of hospitality, or do you want me to be a part of a team that surrenders church and surrenders ministry to you? And so I really, really ask all of you to pray about that. Those are my main announcements. There's also no Sunday school next week as well. But yeah, you can stand with me to receive the benediction. Let's pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his everlasting and amazing peace. Amen. So thanks for coming out. Merry Christmas. And there's no refreshments this week. I apologize.